Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Just so you know, I have not missed one day working out since I said I was going. In fact, as I was coming down the steps today, down into my multi-billion dollar studio down here, my wife said, well, honey, you are losing your belt. So keep me on edge. Keep me doing it. I feel better. I feel better. I think I told you all, my pop belly got pottier when I hurt my knee back in March. And it's just now back to the point. I actually did some jogging yesterday. You believe that? So keep encouraging me, man, because it's certainly a battle for all of us. But, I'm 65. Somebody told me as a young guy, your legs go first. Boy, is that ever the truth? Trying to get those legs back from under you is really, really a battle. Best thing to do is not to lose the legs. I got a lot of things to talk about today. My internet was down when I got up this morning. I was up early, about 5 this morning, trying to do some research, put some things together. My internet was down for about 45 minutes. Don't know what it was. So I put together the best program that I can today. Some really good stuff I want to talk to you about. I got a great feedback yesterday on the whole issue of the pedophilia and how they're promoting it in the churches and the DACA domini and all that stuff that's going on. I appreciate all the feedback. And a lot of people's eyes were open and said, what do we need to do? And it shows to me again that the target, I hate to say this, our target has to be the churches, not the politicians. Our targets have to be the churches where this DACA domini is being taught, where this stuff is being infiltrated. And remember I told you earlier this week, I think it was this week, or maybe, yeah, I think it was Monday, about the pastor that I know that had the issue that they put him on suspension because of something he did 35 years ago. And I heard some more about that last night. And, you know, all of a sudden, Larry, they want to go to where it is about the qualifications to be an elder. I can't remember exactly where that is. And one husband and one wife, all of a sudden they want to go to all that stuff. And I agree with all that, but we're talking about something that happened previous to his salvation. They said, well, he's continued to hide it from everybody. So should he come forward and tell you everybody he had sex with before he got saved? All the times he committed a fornication? Should a guy who's put in a position of leadership, should he come clean on everything in his life? Should you come clean? Should you tell your wife? Should he tell his wife things that are going to hurt her that she doesn't really need to know? And I understand the scripture. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. I understand all that. I do. But if a sin that he had done before he got saved, does he need to go out and dig that up and confess that and then hurt his wife and hurt his family? Somebody help me on that, man. I, for the life of me, I cannot understand why we don't understand grace. If the pastor in position of leadership needs to reveal every hidden sin before he was saved, then I think that everybody sitting in the pew ought to have to do it as well. Anybody disagree with me on that?
Well, Dave, some people's idea of grace is a woman that's on TV that talks about court hearings. You know, Nancy Grace. That's about it. Okay?
Oh, I got you. Yeah, yeah. Well, they want grace for them. They don't want to extend it, see? You hear me. If this pastor was doing this since he's been saved and since he's been leading the church, then it's an entirely different issue, and I'm with them. But they said, well, yeah, but he didn't come clean. He wasn't honest. He has this son out here that he hasn't taken care of. I think, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
I think they need to engage. I believe it's Matthew chapter 18, where the king is forgiven the one of much. And then that one goes out to do exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, and snatches him up and demands this. You got to give us this one thing. and all the stuff that they have been forgiven from. And not only will it come upon them, but it'll come upon their family.
See, I think, Dale, I think it's, a misteaching in the church, right? A misteaching. We do not understand redemption, grace and redemption. It is, to me, the exact same thing that happened with Judge Roy Moore. It's the exact same thing. Whether he did it or not, it's the exact same thing. Now, let me throw another one. Jared's pulled something. Grace, favor, goodwill, redemption, repurchase of captured goods or prisoners, deliverance from bondage, distress, or from liability to any evil or forfeiture, either by money, labor, or other means. Repurchase, liberation. So to be redeemed means to be, the score's been settled. The score was settled at the cross. And my goodness, I don't care who you are. As I said, they start digging in your past. Now, let me connect another dot here. I got someone really want to try to go this morning. Let me connect another dot. I don't know if you guys have followed what's going on with Ohio State University football coach Urban Meyer, who's been suspended. This is going to get me up on right wing watch. They are going to misquote what I'm about to say, but it's okay. Has to be said. Urban Meyer is being suspended because evidently one of his assistant coaches, former coach Earl Bruce's grandson, Zach Smith, apparently has engaged in domestic violence with his ex-wife going back to 2009, the latest one being 2015, 3 years ago, continuing to coach on the coaching staff. Urban Meyer just a month ago just fired him. Another incident came up where he violated a court order or whatever, not Urban, but the assistant coach violated a court order, and Urban Meyer fired him. Earl Bruce was like a father to Urban Meyer. So it's like, you know, firing Earl Bruce's grandson had to be very, very tough. Well, now Urban, the coach Smith's ex-wife has come out and said, wait a minute, Urban and his wife knew about this clip back in 2015, even though there have been nine incidents where the police have been called to the residence or to the ex-wife's home. But no arrests, none, no arrests. 9 incidents happened over the last 4 or 5 years. So they fired this guy on the recent one. And now a report comes out, well, that this has been going on since 2015. And Urban Meyer has kept him on staff. And Urban Meyer deserves to be fired because he didn't do something. He kept this guy with domestic abuse. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't get it. I do not understand. Maybe somebody can help me. Maybe some woman can help me. I don't believe in violence towards women. I don't think a man should ever strike a woman. I've never struck my wife. I never had. I never will. I think it's absolutely wrong. You shouldn't do it. But should that offense be a career-ending thing? Now, listen to me. Not a career-ending thing for the guy who did it, but the guy who was his boss. The boss gets fired because of something the guy did. And the feminazis don't think that the university, especially, right, the leftist university, don't think that he did enough to whatever, one of his employees. So I'm thinking, and I don't care one way or another, I don't have a dog in it. Urban Meyer's probably going to lose his job over it. Not Urban Meyer didn't beat anybody. Urban Meyer didn't. Urban Meyer didn't do anything. He just continued to employ a guy who evidently was having domestic issues with his wife, and the police were called to it, and never charged. And somebody step in here and help me. I'm telling you for the life. Here's what I'm trying to say. Listen, guys, if you can't see the spirit of Jezebel and feminism at work here, I don't even know what to tell you.
I think every Democrat that voted for Bill Clinton after they knew what he did with Monica Lewinsky needs to go and report themselves to the closest federal prison and volunteer to be incarcerated for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I do too, Larry. Now, let me paint this picture for you, because I don't know. Listen, I'm not trying to besmirch anybody here, okay? But let's say I don't know. I'm not accusing anybody. Anybody seen you ever seen a woman get her fangs out, her nails and her fangs out? Especially, you ever been in an argument, a cat fight with your wife, and seen that side come out of her? And some women, I'm not accusing anybody, some women throw stuff at people and throw shoes at you. And you know what I'm talking about, right? And if you're ever in the midst of an argument back and forth like that, and My wife's throwing shoes at me. I don't know if it happened. I'm making an example here. I'm throwing shoes at him, or she's throwing shoes at me, and I'm ducking. And finally, I go over and just put my arms around her and restrain her or grab her by the arms. That's spousal abuse. See, there's two sides to this. And the thing that I can't believe is how quickly men capitulate. Manly run systems capitulate to charges of domestic violence. By the way, I said this to my wife coming down. Here you go, right wing watch. I thought men and women were equal. I thought they were equal. Here you go, right wing watch. Let me ask you something. If a woman throws a shoe at me and hits me in the face, do I have the right to strike her back? If we're equal, I would never strike her back. But I might tackle my wife and restrain her, and the cops get called. Now, hang on. Should my boss lose his job because of what I did? This is crazy. Is there an attorney out there that can help us?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I don't really think this is even about domestic violence. That I mean, make no mistake about it. We all know this. Right Wing Watch knows it. They're just on the other side. This is about a takeover, a communist takeover of the United States. And it's about, to do that, you have to change the fabric of our society.
Amen.
You're going to be on Right Wing Watch today, George. You are. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Well, good, bro. Bring it on, White Ring. You guys know this is true. I mean, we can get peripheral. We can look at all, you know, what Urban Myers did. It's not about Urban Myers. It's not about domestic violence. It's about a communist takeover. And Right Wing Watch, I'm going to tell you this. You guys are losing, okay? Most Americans don't know it yet, but they will. You guys are losing. You will lose this battle. So you probably ought to give up now because you will lose.
Yes.
On this vein, where there's a vacuum, it will be filled. And I can tell you, as a millennial, my view of women is a lot different than the older generation's view of women. That whole equality argument has worked to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of hardness from men towards women. So when that woman does throw that shoe, it's guys aren't going to be restrained by anything. And justice and order, the Lord abhors injustice. He abhors unbalanced weights and measures. It's an abomination. So that, right. What does that mean? Order will be restored. The question is how, and it's probably not going to be good. If the left wants CEOs to be the designators of moral right and wrong,
mm-hmm.
That's a bad precedent, because it's the magistrate's job. But if they're going to set the precedent for CEOs to be moral judges and arbiters of order, okay. You know what? Sure. Let's do it.
But as you say, it's unbalanced weights and measures, because anybody's been married, anybody's had a girlfriend, understands, man, the emotions involved. And I'm not making an excuse for them. Remember, guys. Meyer loses his job. Can I tell you an example? I was I've coached a long time. I had a lot of coaches on the coaching staff, and I knew sometimes of turmoil that was taking place in a marriage. And we did the best we could to try to help him walk through it. I didn't fire the guy. Now, I didn't have anybody ever strike their wife that I know of. But I wouldn't fire the guy because he hit his wife. That's not even the Chris. See, that the law is an ass, right? The law is an ass. The law, they want this patriarchal system is trying to be overthrown by a matriarchal one. See, a woman is always in the right. Hear me. A man should never strike a woman. But I got to tell you this. There sure are times when they deserved it. I'm going to say that again, Right Wing Watch. A man should never strike a woman. However, man, there are times they sure do deserve it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, let's remember two rules for radicals. What's one of the planks? It's make
them live
the
up
enemy
to them.
Live up to their own rules. See, that's why whoever's talked about Bill Clinton, that's why they don't have to acknowledge that, because we have to live up to our rules. They don't.
Right. That's right. So again, guys, It's the boss that's going to lose his job, not the guy who did it. I mean, it's crazy. Can I tell you what else is probably going on? He got fired, Zach Smith. He needs Jesus. Maybe he'll come to Jesus. Zach Smith was being paid $324,000 a year plus bonuses. Now, understand this. When he got fired, his ex-wife probably doesn't get any money either. So this thing is very, very deep. And I would just like to see one man with some stones, Roger, one man with some stones at Ohio State University stand up publicly and say, we stand behind Urban Meyer. We stand behind him. We don't know the situation that took place here, but we stand with him. One man with stones. You won't find one that'll do it. What do you think, Counselor Weaver?
Well, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? You know, us defense lawyers, we use the word terminology. And again, all my comments are foundationally built on, I'm not in favor of domestic violence. It's abhorrent. It shouldn't happen.
But it occurs.
The innocent till proven guilty for the individual, my goodness, wouldn't that stretch even farther to Urban Meyer? He's not even the person who caused the problem.
That's right. And Roger, can you imagine? I'm just imagining. Well, they say, well, he lied to his boss. That Urban Meyer lied to the AD, Gene Smith, and told Gene Smith that he didn't know about it. That's what they're going to get him on. But can you imagine Urban Meyer, somebody on his staff, probably calls the Powell, Ohio Police Department and talks to the cops and says, hey, man, what happened here, man? And the cop, I said, oh, well, coach, listen, here's what it is, and this is what happened. And we went over, and we calmed down the situation. Hey, folks, no arrests, mate. You understand this? No arrests. They're calling it domestic violence, but it ain't like this guy's going home, putting his wife in a headlock and pounding on her all the time. 9 calls, no arrests.
Well, Dave, I just want to say, look, see, they've let the media take the narrative. They've set the narrative. It's not domestic violence. If there was no violence, if there was violence, then they would have filed a charge.
That's
if
right.
If they didn't file charges, then there was no crime. If there was no crime, then there's no offense. Okay. So the point is, if you're yelling and screaming that you're having a, and your neighbor hears you and calls the cops and they come over there, there's some domestic violence going on over there. Well, how do the neighbors know? Do they get x-ray vision? They can't see that. So when the cops show up, then they're going to decipher what's going on, and is going to file something or they're not. And apparently they're not filing anything. So there is no domestic violence.
Here's what we know, and I could probably go run down through here and do a litany of this. I didn't want to do 20 minutes on this morning, but I think it's important. A lot of men can't control their emotion. And there are a lot of men who've been through this divorce situation. And you know the anger and the frustration that arises as you walk through this divorce, children in a minute, visitation and new girlfriends and new boyfriends. Some of you have walked this walk, and some of us are not equipped with the Holy Spirit and the ability to control how we react. And we don't know the whole story. Was she a provocateur? Here you go, right wing watch. If it had been another woman, would the other woman have slapped her? Was she so out of control that another woman might have slapped her? If another woman might have slapped her, would it have been a domestic violence charge? So again, hey folks, it's the boss that's going to lose his job, not the guy who did it. It's amazing. It's just
Coach, the lesson in this is Urban Myers is a part of the patriarchy. And he is a successful coach in one of the remaining masculine sports at Ohio State, which is run by militant feminists.
Thank you, Lowell. Thank you, Lowell.
He must be destroyed.
He has to be destroyed. He has to be destroyed.
Women are playing a dangerous game because they're playing in men's battlefield. All right? There's going to be repercussions for them for this, and I'm not talking about violence or anything. It's their business is men's domain. It's a natural thing. If the matriarchy is going to set the precedent that CEOs and businesses and organizations are responsible for the morals of our country instead of the law, It's gonna be messy, but it's gonna be ordered. There's gonna be order. That's kind of my point.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be pretty. Don't let me get bogged down on it, but I want you to think about that. So there's some good fodder for Right Wing Watch. I'm gonna say that I'm now in support of abuse, and you know, I didn't say that. You know, hey, here's a better question. Any of you guys out there, you ever been verbally abused by a woman? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Is that a crime? Roger, is that a crime to be verbally abused by a woman? But if a man verbally abuses a woman, wow. Okay. We'll shift gears here, I think. Got a lot of new folks joining us. Remember, we're always at CoachDaveLive.com. I'm about to get out of jail, by the way. I'm about to get out of Facebook, YouTube jail. CoachDaveLive.com. You can always find us there. We got 36 people who are watching, who are in the queue with us. I don't know how many are watching. See, one of the things that happened to us, and one of the reasons they try to silence us, is because people fall off the boat, right? They go to YouTube and they can't find the show. Then they go to Facebook, they can't find the show. And they do that 2 days in a row and they say, wow, Coach must not be doing a show anymore. And so therefore we lose all that momentum. See, so that's why I continue. It's important to repeat.
But Coach, you're a repeat offender. You know you're going to end back up in Facebook jail because you just won't the word I'm looking for, but you will not.
It is mine, right?
You won't conform to Facebook society.
My mind is right.
That's right. You won't capitulate. It is right. Yeah.
I'm one of the few that's got my mind right. Jared, let's go to Romans 8. I'm going to take you on a real quick journey here this morning. Romans 8. My wife gave me this right after I gave her morning beating before I came down. She gave this to me as I was going down the steps. Romans 8, because this applies right here, and it applies to the commentary that I just wrote that I want to share with you today, which, again, we'll see as we go through it. This Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, look, let's apply the pastor that I was talking about. No condemnation. Let's apply that to Urban Meyer. I don't know if he walks with Christ. I don't think he does, but I don't know. There's no condemnation. Now, what's the difference between condemnation and conviction? Condemn means you're sentenced. Boom. Conviction means you are found guilty. You convicted yourself. So anytime you sin, there's conviction. You convict yourself. Condemnation means judgment coming down on you. Bang, you did it. Boom, you're condemned. You're condemned to death. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Why don't the people at that church understand this? That what that pastor did was before he was in Christ Jesus. Bear with me. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord on that one. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, man-made, and not man-made, but man, I'm going to get into this. God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if Coach Zach Smith is not born again, he's walking after the flesh. You guys understand this? You see this? I'm going to try to clarify it here more in a minute. And the pastor, one time he was walking after the flesh, but he got born again. He's not walking after the flesh anymore. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, run down the list. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, to think without the Spirit is death. But to be spiritually minded, to think with the Spirit of God is life and peace. Because the carnal, unsaved mind is enmity. Remember that word that he would put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman? That's that same word. The carnal mind is an enemy of God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. Hey, Jared, I don't know the situation, but it would seem to me that if Coach Zach Smith's family was put together in a proper order and being led by the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't have been violence or disagreement in that family. If the wife would have been submitted to the husband and the husband had been submitted to Christ, the way it's supposed to be, this domestic violence would never have taken place. But what we see is it's taking place because why? Carnal-minded. They're carnal-minded. Verse 7. So then they that are in the flesh can't please God. Oh, this is so clear. But you, talking to redeemed, born-again people, you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of God's. And if Christ be in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brothers, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live through the Spirit, you kill, mortify the deeds of the body. You're going to live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Jared, go to the commentary there. Pull that up there for me. This one just came out of me. This just came out of me yesterday. I write them on Wednesdays, post them on Thursdays. This is called Evil Spirits in High Places. I know it's boring radio to read, but I think this is important. This is what people don't understand. Again, I post this posted a lot of places today, evil spirits in high places. I put Ephesians 6:13, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Jared, I want to read. I got to get this out of the way. Hang on a second, guys. Bear with me. I'm sorry to read my own stuff, but I think it's apropos. Some of you will get this and some of you will not. You'll laugh it off at your own peril. So much of what we see going on around us borders on the unexplainable. The absolute madness that the Trump haters display is one of those things. Many of us had a strong dislike for the Obama administration, but we didn't take it to the streets in order to undermine what we viewed as an anti-American administration. We simply swallowed hard and complied. The day Obama left office was a great joy for many of us. As things began to unfold and all the investigations surrounding President Trump, thanks, Jared, it is becoming obvious that the previous 8 years, the American government has bordered on lawlessness. There's so much to be revealed that we may not be able to handle it once it's fully exposed. How could government of, by, and for the people become so diabolical? Where did America go wrong? Why did so many Americans look the other way at wrong simply because it was their party that was in power? How have Americans become so divided? Well, it's evil spirits in high places. That's the answer. Here's where I'm going to lose some of you. The Bible teaches that the natural, non-born-again man does not understand the things of the Spirit. Without an understanding of the spiritual world, you cannot decipher what's happening in the natural world. So let me dig into this a little bit. A human is a spiritual being that happens to live in a natural world. I'm going to say it again. A human is a spiritual being that happens to live in a natural world. In fact, although you have a body, you are not a body. You are a spirit that lives in a body. Much as a car transports us around town, your body carries your spirit around this material world. Every human being enters the world the same way, which is through the womb of a woman. The Bible teaches that at the moment of conception, a new creation is formed, complete with his or her own DNA, which science calls the blueprint of life. Everything that makes you you is present at the moment conception occurs. And the Bible teaches that at the same moment, a living soul is present. I can take you to Genesis and read that right now. Man became a living soul. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. The soul is actually you. When people communicate with another human being, it is the soul to which they speak, not to the body. The body is merely the encasement in which the soul is housed. You follow me here, guys? Hence, you are first and foremost a soul, mind, will, and emotions that is given life by the Spirit, the breath of God. And you operate in this natural world with a body of flesh. You are a soul, not a body. When you die, the spirit life leaves the body, natural world, and the soul leaves this natural world for a place we've been taught to call heaven. But heaven's not necessarily the place where God lives, but represents a non-material world where human flesh cannot operate. This non-material world is what we commonly call the spiritual world. This is where the spirits in high places live and operate. I don't have the time to go into it now, so do your own research. But suffice it to say that the spiritual world is made up of different dimensions. This spiritual world, although not material like the one, the earthly realm in which we live, is very real. There is a gulf, an area of separation between the natural and spiritual dimensions. The only way you can enter into the earth realm is by occupying a physical body. That's what God did. He was born in human form. Jesus, through the womb of a natural woman, Mary, possessing a body, is the only way to enter into this earth realm. The human soul is currently trapped in the natural world, but is able to communicate with the spiritual realm. That is the realm where the evil spirits in high places operate. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is the only way that a natural man can ever get victory over evil spirits that bombard the natural world continually. The evil spirits attacks humans through the mind. Every evil action begins as a thought. That is why we are taught to take captive every thought. Because bad thoughts lead to bad behavior. It is the mind that the evil spirits try to influence. This influence of the spiritual realm comes through our natural senses. Touch, taste, sight, and the desire to fulfill the natural desires of the flesh are what causes calamity in the natural world. The Bible calls it sin. The Bible teaches that when Satan was vamoosed from heaven, he took one-third of the angels with him. And it's from that fall from God's presence that all of the evil has entered into the natural realm. From the time Satan entered the garden, he and his minions have been trying to oppose everything that is good. And everything that is good comes from God. And Satan and his offspring have worked tirelessly to destroy everything that is good. That is what we wrestle with, all of us, every human, principalities and powers, evil spirits determined to destroy all that is godly. What occurs in the natural realm is a direct result of what has been occurring in the spiritual realm in high places. The devil and his children fight humanly through thoughts, planting lies that seem to be true. Did God really say? God sent his son into the natural realm by the same method in which we all got here, through the womb of a woman, so we might gain access to the spirit greater than the spirits operating in this world. This is the wrestling that we all do. Without the Holy Spirit, we are powerless against the forces of darkness in this natural realm. The root cause of all of America's problems is spiritual. Sadly, there's no political answer to a spiritual problem. The high places, positions of authority in America are occupied by natural men, non-born again men. Natural men are prisoners of the flesh, natural influences and desires. Money, fame, sex, and power are what drives America's leaders. And without the Holy Spirit, they are incapable of doing what is right. That's it in a nutshell. You can ignore it. You can pick at my examples, but we are in the mess we are in because our leaders and, sadly, our churches have no understanding of what is really going on around them. The spirits that influence natural men are driving the nation over a cliff. Evil flourishes when good men yield authority to wickedness. Read Genesis 6 and you'll see that the battles never change. Good versus evil. One will win. Evil spirits in high places are ruling the world, and the average Christian has no idea why. How can we hope to win if we don't understand fight? Zach Smith is a natural man. Gene Smith, athletic director of Ohio State University, is a natural man. Can't understand the things of the spirit. Can't possibly control what's going on. He can't do it. Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit. You can't. So here we are, we spiritual beings, born again of the Spirit of God, in this natural world to take dominion over all this ungodliness, and we don't even understand that's what we're supposed to be doing. We don't understand that evil is flourishing because we've yielded all of these positions of authority, all of these high places to the devil. We've yielded it all to his minions. We talk about feminism. We talk about the destruction of the home. We talk about all this stuff. Don't we understand that it's been the plan of the evil one from the beginning, and that the only solution to the restoration of the family, the restoration of America, and the restoration of anything that you talk about is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, so now that you have the ability, even though I want to smack Michelle, I don't, because I'm restrained by the Holy Spirit. This is so obvious and so important. Yet I would say to you that the average American Christian has no idea. They don't even know they're a spirit or a soul, spirit with a soul. They don't even know that. Look at what's going on. Look at the fleshliness in the church. Why is there so much fleshliness in the church? Because the people don't understand when they were born again, they became a brand new creature, and they now have power over sin that they didn't have before. And the pastor who 30 years ago impregnated a girl and got her pregnant, and the parents said, stay away from her. We'll handle it from here. Don't ever want to hear from you again. And he goes on with his life and then becomes born again of the Spirit, Romans 8, becomes born again of the Spirit. There's no condemnation in him. He walks into the church, starts this beautiful church 35 years later. They find out what he did 35 years ago, and what? They bring condemnation. Why? Because I'm going to tell you something. They are not born again of the Spirit of God. They walked an aisle. They said a prayer, but they don't have any understanding. I'm going to open it up. Somebody help me out. That's the way I see it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's it, brother. That's it. No, it's a bunch of nonsense. It's all white knighting and kowtowing to feelings.
There is a reason why Jesus informed and told his disciples that the supermajority of the people who come before him on Judgment Day, even the supermajority of those who claim to be his and claim to have lived for him and claim to have done mighty works and miracles in his name, the supermajority of them, Jesus is going to say, go to hell. I never knew you.
Amen.
Read about it in Matthew chapter 7.
Coach, what you said before, they're conformed, but they're not transformed.
That's right, brother. Can I tell you what's going on? They're embarrassed. They're embarrassed. Instead of these people criticizing their pastor, they ought to come alongside their pastor and say, you know what? That was before he was a born-again man. He's a transformed man. They say, well, he's still lying to everybody. Lying? What do you mean he's lying? He just didn't reveal some things that probably needed to be revealed. So the next time I go for a meeting with an elder board, or the next time I go, should I tell them every stinking sin I've done in my whole life? Hey, before you hire me, I want you to know that when I was 18, I did this. When I was 23, I did this. When I was, they said, yeah, but it's ongoing. He's still not having anything to do with his son. Well, they ask him not to. They ask him not to have anything. Oh, my Lord. I don't get it. I do get it. Kind of causes me frustration. Why don't they go get some of those pastors that are teaching pablum from their church? Why don't they go get those guys? Why don't they go get those guys that are teaching homosex is normal? Why don't they go get those guys? Why are they trying to get some guy for something he did 35 years ago?
Why don't those guys confess of what they've got in their past?
Yeah, well, that was what Dale said at the beginning, right? Jesus forgave him and said, now you go forgive. Larry, right, Larry? Forgive others as I've forgiven you. So they ought to understand their condition. Say, oh, Lord, thank you, Lord, that my sin hasn't been publicly revealed like this, and come alongside their pastor and encourage you. See, folks, there's...
Hey, Coach.
Christ, this sin was done before Christ. Yes. Come on in, Paul. Lost you, Paul. Lost you.
Oh,
I think
can you hear me now?
There you go, buddy. There you go, Paul.
Well, what I was saying is one of the if the deacons are going to make that of the pastor, where they have to confess everything, then they ought to do that themselves to be deacons of that church.
Amen, buddy. Amen. I said to somebody close to the situation, I wonder how many of those people have had abortions. Are they coming clean? This guy impregnated a girl. She got pregnant. They had the baby. He's not been in his life. Yes, it's a horrible situation, but there were extenuating circumstances laid up there. I wonder how many of those people casting stones are sleeping around. I wonder how many of them have had abortions. And we're talking about a man of God who before Christ was wicked like the rest of us were, received Christ and a whole new slate. Lord started a whole new slate. And they don't understand, see? They don't understand. And instead, the leadership of the church, instead of worrying about being embarrassed, my opinion only, ought to be standing up and saying, this is what redemption looks like. This is what it looks like. He was lost and now he's found. This is what we believe in.
Amen.
Instead, they're worrying about what others might think. And I was talking to a guy last night. And I said, listen, two issues here. This is the problem with a pastor-driven church. If the pastor falls, you might as well close the place down. And I said this to someone yesterday who is intimate into it. And I said that very thing. If they fire him, they might as well close the place down. You know what he said to me? Probably going to have to anyway. So many people feel betrayed. Why don't you think about that a minute? Betrayed? How were they betrayed? Because he didn't confess every sin? Oh, say, yeah, it's a serious one. I understand. It's a big one. It should be fathering his son. I understand that. I understand. Come on, Coach,
that's one of the keys, Coach. That's one of the keys, what you just said about the pastor falling. That's one of the keys to the whole thing.
What do you mean, Jim?
What you just said, I agree, because if the pastor falls, the church falls.
Yeah,
it's all based on him.
That's the problem with it. See, in my opinion, that's the problem with it. The pastor-driven churches. Can I tell you something? I don't know this to be true. I just know men. Most of the time, if you're a pastor or you're in leadership, I'm thinking right now, me. If I were going to put together a council around me, I'd pick guys who were for me. That's just nature. It's just human nature, right? I'm not going to pick that troublemaker to be on the council. I'm not going to do that. Because why? For the most part, I want the people around me to encourage me and help us move in the right direction. Not necessarily yes men, but in some ways, yes men. Now, as I look at this situation, this is not a situation where he had yes men around him. I don't know. I don't know who the elders are. I don't know who they are. But if you're any type of leader, you put people on your board who support you. Then by they got crazy on that one. Doesn't that make sense?
Coach, and not only that, you know, the church government and even within the eldership, you know, the eldership, yeah, that's within house. They deal with that. But with no oversight, like what Paul did with Ephesus and set these elders amongst them, and that's where it all comes from. Paul was the outside apostolic that oversaw that if there was something there, that Paul can give him a different perspective from the outside looking in. There was no outside, because if there was an outside influence, they'd have looked at that board of elders and told them, you're in the wrong and you need to pick up your shield and guard this man. While they're singing Amazing Grace, you know, because of John Newton, who owned slaves and killed slaves and was brutal, that they're going to sing Amazing Grace now because the grace that was extended to John Newton. What this man did, I get it, but he didn't kill the baby. That probably was a big problem right there, because they've had their probably secret sins and they killed the baby.
Right.
But they think that all these stones need to be unturned. My question is, it says if a man lusts in his heart, he's already guilty. So my question is how pure is this board of elders, and how good are their eyes, and really where is their heart?
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if Jesus isn't bringing condemnation, why is the elder board? For something that happened before he was in Christ Jesus. I'm just telling you, it's just war. It's Judge Roy Moore all over again. Yeah.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. Isn't this way, though, just showing, it's exposing the institutionalized church, which Jesus really wanted nothing a part of, and it's really It's not what he's about. I think it's just the hypocrisy. And judgment, as we know, will begin in the house of God, and I think we're starting to see that.
Amen. And I think there's a lot of lessons in there. Let me say this. This church just went through a big building project. Big building project. And do you have any idea how much money it's going to take every month to pay that mortgage? You see the danger of pastor-driven churches?
Well, not only pastor-driven, but ministry built on pastor churches. When I see the names on these buildings are the names of men. Coach, that's why we decided to name it King Jesus Ministry, because he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. It's not my role to build his church. My role is kingdom. He'll build the church, and he'll bring the locals in there. And a lot of people don't get that. We don't get to pick the church and where we're going to go to. The Word of God says, Paul wrote in Corinthians, it is God who places us in the local body, not us. We Amen. Treat church like Walmart. We're going to go down there and shop what's good for me and what I want. And that's not what church is.
That's because we
Amen, walk, Dale. Walk Amen.
After the flesh. We walk after the flesh. The churches are full of fleshly Christians. Can I tell you why? Well, they don't even understand what I just read. What I just tried to explain, that they are a soul, first and foremost a soul, and they live in a body. And they don't understand that the outside spiritual realm is doing everything it can to control their walk here on earth. And when you got born again, you received the Spirit of the Holy Spirit from God on high, which now, for the first time ever, gives you the ability to fight against these evil spirits in high places. You now have the weapons of your warfare now to be able to do it. And the weapons of our warfare, tells us in Ephesians, they're not carnal, but mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds. And what are those strongholds? Those evil spirits in high places that have been controlling us, controlling you, controlling individuals. Those evil spirits in high places are going to pull down. How? By the Spirit of Almighty God. And we don't even teach this kind of stuff in the church anymore. We teach them that the Holy Spirit comes just to make you feel goosebumps and feel him during praise and worship and get you everything you need. It's such a serious, serious misunderstanding of what the death, burial, and resurrection.
You know, Jesus. What Pastor Dale just said is so appropriate, but I would kind of word it this way. Where we assemble with each other is where God should, the Holy Spirit leads us to. And you know, because the churches are supposed to be assembly points. Now, you've got a Chrysler assembly plant. You've got a Hyundai assembly plant. You've got a Ford assembly plant. And if you're supposed to be a part and God has equipped and trained you and given you the brain and the heart and the desire to be a part of a Chrysler, but you go walk in that Ford assembly plant, you ain't going to fit, buddy.
Hey, Larry, you know what else I like about that? You know, that's really good, because not only has he made you an assembly plant, them cars are worthless as they're going to sit at the assembly plants. Those cars are made to go in, be built, and then go out. And that's what the local church, we are to build them up, teach them all the things that God has taught us, and then send them out into the world and do something.
Amen. So Amen, Pastor Dale.
I asked this person who's close to the situation. I said, when did this news break about pastor? And she said, about 10 days ago. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. What is the difference between Pastor Bill, using that name, making up that name, Pastor Bill 10 days ago and Pastor Bill today? What's changed? And she looked at me and said, nothing, except our trust in him. Okay, but based on what? Based on what don't you trust him? Do you have a whole line of things he's been lying to you all this time through? Or this one sin that he did 35 years ago and he didn't tell you about it? That breaks your trust in him? What is wrong with us? But the world does, see? But the world does. But the enemy does. And you guys know I'm not for mega churches, but I see this as just a great, great, great injustice. Got about 10.
So you mean like where Judas slept with a prostitute and the lineage of Jesus is coming through there, so we're supposed to hate Judah now because of that lineage? Come on, Coach, right?
Well, hey, guys, are any of you listening right now? Do you ever have anything in your past you wish you could go back and undo? I know of a situation of a couple that were having marital issues. And so I'm trying to help. I'm not a very good counselor because I cut to the chase and they don't like that. But she said, well, I want to know everything. If we're one and we have to trust each other, I want to know everything that he's done in the past. I want to know every girl he slept with. I said, whoa. Why would you want to know that? They don't build trust. That destroys trust. Yeah, but I don't think I can trust him until I know. I said, oh, my goodness, are you kidding me? Hey, folks, some stuff's under the blood. It's under the blood. And if it comes out, nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Think of that a second. Just think of that right there. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. So does that mean that tomorrow morning when I come on here, everything I've done, I better get it out on the table so you guys all know it, because it's going to be revealed at some point? Nah, that's a misunderstanding of the scriptures. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. The Lord knows. The Lord will reveal it all in his timing. And here's what I think. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. And if I could get a hold of this pastor, I don't even know if he'd take a call. I would say, stand up and confess it and explain the gospel of Jesus Christ and move on, brother. That's what I would do. There may be hundreds of people who will come to understanding of the truth if you get up there and clearly articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ rather than this self-help that we spend all of our time teaching. This is what the gospel's about. Redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been transformed. I don't even know that old guy. There are a lot of people in church who are born again and still hanging on to that old guy. Somebody say amen. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
In the Marine Corps, there's something called the OODA loop. It's OODA. It's observe, orient, decide, act. Right? So in this situation, if you're a Christian, all you got to do is you observe the situation, the sin, right? You observe, you orient. The decision process, you just look, the litmus test. There's therefore no condemnation whatsoever in Christ Jesus. Okay. Who walk not after the flesh? Okay. Is he walking after the flesh? Answer, yes, no. No, but after the Spirit? Yes. Okay. You're still our pastor. Now, if the answer is he's walking after the flesh, well, then that's the problem. Then you go down a whole nother set. Amen. It's very simple.
Amen. And unfortunately, Jared, there are many pastors who are walking after the flesh, and people flock to them because they're walking after the flesh as well. They don't understand redemption and transformation because they are not transformed. They're saved. And those aren't the same thing?
Coach, and David Arthur's a great example of this.
They preach it, though, Dave. They preach it.
Yeah.
They don't live it.
Roger, I can do color commentary on football, but I'm sure not on the field making the decisions, right? Those aren't the same thing. I understand the game.
Coach, what about King David when he lusted after Bathsheba? He entered into the sin conceived, and then he tries to cover the sin, and he has her husband murdered. And in the end of it, when he is broken and fallen upon the rock and repents, God then declares, now here is a man after my own heart. And every king was measured up to the stature of King David.
Yes, sir. That's right. They don't want to hear that, man. They don't want to hear that. I wrote that commentary last week where I said that, you know, my favorite Bible character was King David. Of course, I heard from one of those guys, sent me an email, and I said, hey, dude, Jesus came through David's lineage. Don't ever forget that, man. Don't ever forget it. David wasn't perfect. The seed was perfect, and Jesus came through that lineage. So I hope I'm not seeming double-minded to you. I hope I'm not.
Hey, that just made me think of something there. Should Jesus have been fired because his relative David was a sinner?
There you go. That's right.
So Chad, he also came through the lineage of a prostitute through Judah. Okay? That's also.
Hey, right.
Coach, Dale, let me piggyback on your statement a second ago about God called David a man after his own heart. And a lot of people misunderstand what God was saying there. God wasn't saying David has, you know, it's just as good as my heart. David is my heart. God was saying David desires to come to my heart. David desires to know me and what he's supposed to be doing through me. He didn't say David is my heart. He said David is a man after my heart, seeking it.
Okay, it's my job to try to tighten this thing down so at the end of the show, this whole thing makes it. And if there was a theme of the show today, it was, hey, Jared, see if you can pull up the song Solomon's Temple. We played that once before. If there's a theme of today's show, it is that apart from Christ, the natural man, you're doomed, man. You're doomed. Solomon's Temple and David's Heart. Just try that. Solomon's Temple and David's Heart. Jared, that's the name of it. We're doomed. We're doomed without the redemptive power of Christ. We are doomed. And we are defenseless without that. I got banned on Facebook YouTube last time we played this. That was it. Go back to the top, Jared. Clear to the top. I played this once before. It's called Solomon's Temple and David's Heart. Go ahead and play that. Let's just kind of wrap it up. Folks, listen. Create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. And if you don't have the Spirit of the living God in you, you cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Go ahead and play this, Jared. I think it's the right one.
What is a church? Where does it start? Is it a building? Is it a heart? If you know the answer, then we can agree. But it's not a building, it's a heart that's willing to let God lead.
Solomon's Temple is not like David's heart.
Solomon's Temple was not like David's heart. Knowledge and wisdom don't make you spiritually smart. You may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's Temple and David's Heart.
Deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's Temple and David's Heart. Keep going, Jared.
Solomon's plea. Well, he never asked God to let the Spirit lead. But David laid on his face and prayed continually. He cried for heaven's sake, Father, don't take your Spirit from me. Solomon's temple was not like David's heart.
Amen.
Knowledge and wisdom don't make you spiritually smart. You may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's Temple and David's Heart. Solomon was a wise man. Love this, there is no doubt. Something you spiritually smart, you may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple and David's heart. You may find yourself deceived if you can't tell.
Yeah, folks, you may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple and David's heart. God bless you. See you tomorrow.